I'm Ed Gordon, and this is News and Notes. Many Gulf Coast residents remain displaced 2 months after Hurricane Katrina devastated the region. Now a congressman wants to make sure that even though displaced, these people will still be able to cast their vote. NPR's Farai Chadeya recently talked with Democratic Congressman Archer Davis of Alabama about his efforts to assure the vote for those who are still trying to get on their feet.
So tell us a little bit about the specifics of this bill.
Well, the reality is that there are large numbers of evacuees who are displaced all around the country, 30,000, for example, in my state of Alabama. And despite our best efforts, it is highly unlikely that a significant number of them will be able to return to Louisiana and to return to work in Louisiana before the next federal elections in 2006. At the same time, there's no group of people obviously more affected by the choices that will be made in these elections than the evacuees, and it's my belief that they ought to be able to express their preferences and their views about what the federal government has done or has not done in their home jurisdictions. So what our bill would do would be to allow the evacuees to assert by affidavit that they're displaced because of the hurricane and that they intend to return to vote as soon as, or intend to return to live in Louisiana as soon as it's practicable to do so. It would give the displaced evacuees an affect the same voter protections that our soldiers have when they're serving overseas.
The Louisiana Secretary of State wants to spend up to $1 million to find Louisiana storm evacuees, make sure that the registered voters are kept track of, that they can vote in Louisiana. Now, that raises an interesting question to me. What about people who never registered to vote, who may now, because of Katrina, be motivated to exercise their rights for perhaps the first time? How do you track down people who haven't even registered?
Well, certainly one of our problems is that we have not done a very good job as a government of inventorying the evacuees. And there's no question that it will be a challenge to identify the evacuees and notify them of this right. But one of the things that our bill does is to direct the Secretary of State's offices around the country to make a good faith effort to identify and to locate evacuees and to notify them of this right. And, of course, some people point out that, well, wouldn't this bill provide an opportunity for people to assert that they're evacuees when they're not? Our whole voter process is always laden with the potential of fraud, and there are laws against it. People can go to jail for doing that kind of thing. The affidavit that would have to be submitted would be, like all other affidavits, subject to penalty of perjury. So we believe that this bill does not create a significant potential for fraud, and certainly nothing in this bill displaces whatever voter ID laws may exist in particular states or may exist in the state of Louisiana.
You suggested this legislation with support from Russ Feingold of Wisconsin. How have things broken down once you introduced this legislation in terms of support from your colleagues in Congress?
Well, we've certainly made good progress gathering support in the House. We have around 35 co-sponsors in the House of Representatives, including Congressman Melanson and Congressman Jefferson, who represent a significant chunk of the devastated areas in Louisiana. On the Senate side, Senator Feingold's bills already attracted support from Senator Kerry and from Senator Landrieu. And as we continue to talk about this bill, I think we'll only gather more support. Obviously, we're having to make it clear to people why this is necessary. The reality is that under current absentee ballot law, if you are living and working and paying taxes or own property in a jurisdiction, you're presumed to be a voter there. And the reality is that a lot of these displaced evacuees to earn a living will have to live and work and reside in some other place during the next several years. We'd give them the right to, if they want it, certainly, to vote in their new areas, but we would also give them the option of choosing to vote back home instead of voting in their new areas, which is incidentally about where college students are now. When college students go away, I see no reason to give evacuees less protection than college kids or less protection than our soldiers.
Final question. Right now in Congress, there has been a lot of debate over how to maintain some control over the huge costs facing the U.S. government. How is the government going to uphold not just the voting rights of Katrina survivors, but the economic issues that they face and not go even deeper into debt?
It is absolutely unconscionable that some Republicans in Congress, indeed a good number of Republicans in Congress, want to respond to Hurricane Katrina by cutting food stamps, by cutting Section 8 housing, by cutting student loans, and by cutting Medicaid. It's unconscionable because Katrina reminded us that there are a large number of Americans who already fall through the safety net. So how dare we cut the safety net even further. We can afford to meet our obligations in the Gulf. And the best way to meet those obligations is to ask sacrifice of all Americans, to go to people earning over $1 million in this economy and to say, instead of getting a tax cut of $89,000 a year, we're going to reduce your tax cut to $82,000 a year. The combined effect would be enough for us to meet our obligations in the Gulf. Everyone wants to pay less taxes, but when you're facing an enormous fiscal crisis of the kind that we're facing, you have to make hard choices, and those hard choices ought to be based on equity and on fairness, not based on hurting the weakest and most vulnerable people in our society.
Democratic Congressman Archer Davis represents Alabama's 7th District. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was NPR's Farai Chidea.